Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Okay, friends, we've got a lot of people on social media that are giving words. Some of them have a ministry of constantly putting forth words, dreams, visions, you know, we hear, and claiming things such as, "And the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. in the morning, and here's what He told me," and they sensationalize it, and they put all these things surrounding it and dress it up to where it looks like you got to accept it as God's word, no matter what, or you're in sin. Do you remember reading about Simon in the book of Acts, chapter 8? Okay, in Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 9, we read about Simon the sorcerer. Notice, this is nothing new, folks. Even in the days of Moses, he dealt with the magicians. And notice here in verse 9, Acts 8 says, "But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one." And this is something that captures what we're seeing today with so many people seeking attention and blurting out things that are not coming from and even violate the written word of God, which immediately tells you that they're false. And so anyway, they are like Simon. These people are giving out that they are some great one without saying these words. And so that's the way this manipulation works. They are always getting a dream, a vision, a word. And so it gets people coming to listen to their word instead of exhorting them to get into God's word for themselves. And let me stop to say that that's the difference between a false prophet and a true servant of the Lord. The true servant of the Lord is always going to get you into God's word for yourself and not make you dependent upon himself. And such is the example of the Apostle Paul, who in Acts chapter 20, verses 20 through 32, after warning with tears the body of Christ about the wolves who were going to rise up from within them and devour the flock. At the end of that discourse, Paul says to the Ephesian elders that he's addressing, fervently warning them concerning the deceivers that were going to come and devour the sheep of Christ. He says in verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God." I'm exhorting you, in other words, to seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually, like 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11 tells us. But he says, "I commend you to God." This is how Paul gave them the closing divine wisdom on how to keep themselves and the flock safe in Christ. "I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." That's the written word of God, folks, that we have in the 66 glorious books of the canon of Holy Scripture in the King James Bible for the English-speaking people. Notice, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." Notice Paul didn't say, "I commend you to come sit at my feet constantly. You need me." No, he said, "You go to God and you go to the word of God. That's where you find out about God, which is able to build you up." In other words, it's able to strengthen and edify you and fortify you in Christ. And now, doesn't that remind us of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14? I'll suffice it to read just the end of that passage, speaking of ingesting the Word of God daily and growing as you obey the Word of God and you worship Him in spirit and in truth, the truth being the written Word of God, which will cause you to grow into being a mature believer as you do that. And that's what Paul's talking about in the book of Acts, where he speaks about in Acts 20, verse 32, that it's the Word of God that's going to build you up, and it's going to give you an inheritance. It's going to keep you in Christ and cause you to mature and grow stronger and stronger to build you up as you are abiding in Christ, as you are strengthened by the grace and the Word and the Spirit of God, as you endure to the end, as you continue in Christ from faith to faith and from glory to glory. That's what the Word of God is able to do, quote unquote, is able to build you up, Acts 20:32. And Hebrews 5:14, after he speaks about babes or Christians that are not yet matured, that are on milk, then he says, but strong meat. In other words, the deeper truths of the doctrines of Christ given to us in the Word of God, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, those that are mature in Christ, even those who by reason of use, that is, they are in the Word of God, by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And to give you an inheritance, see, there's eternity attached. There's no such thing as a heaven-bound Christian who's not in the Word of God every day. If you're not in the Word of God every day, you've already backslidden, friend. Repent and get in the Word of God and study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. So, which is able, the Word of God is able to build you up, he says, and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Notice inferred here also, it's only those who are sanctified, only those who have been saved and are abiding presently in Christ that have the inheritance of eternal glory. Such as the Apostle Paul, those who are true to God, those under shepherds who serve the Lord humbly and according to his word, they don't make you dependent on himself. He pushes you to seek God for yourself and to be in the Word of God every day. Whereas false teachers use all kinds of different sorcery and manipulations and techniques and tools to get you coming back to them, to their church, or to their Sunday morning, you know, circus they call church, or to their platform to hear their word on social media or whatever the platform of communication. They want you coming back to them. They don't want you going to God. They want you coming back to them. This is a bunch of witchcraft, manipulation, and the spirit of Antichrist is behind it all. Anti meaning in place of. They are putting themselves in place of Christ in your life. If, in fact, that person that's a deceiver in this case was true to God, had truly repented and was serving the Lord, he would be pointing people or she to the Word of God, not to come back to them. You see, that's what deceivers do. They want you dependent upon them. And that's why these same people peddle a new word, a new vision, a new dream, you know, or God took them to heaven or something like that constantly, because they got to keep the circus wheels rolling. They got to keep you coming back for more, and they continue to create that bond between you and them. That's what they're fostering. It's like the mother spider weaving her web, you know, casting this witchcraft upon the spell upon the people that they are deceiving, like we see in Acts 8 with Simon the sorcerer. And also, that's what we read in the book of Galatians in the beginning of the third chapter. Who hath bewitched you? They use techniques to manipulate the people for their own self-serving purposes. And it's only those people who are not truly and earnestly with an honest and pure heart seeking the Lord and therefore being engrossed in his word, it's only them that are going to be deceived. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. And on that note, let's take a look at Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning. We're just going to read two of the verses. Actually, that's an explosive chapter about false teachers, false leaders, false prophets, false pastors. Notice verse 16 of Jeremiah 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the prophet says, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. How long, verse 26 says, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. It's Jeremiah 23, verses 16 and 26. Again, it says in Acts 8:9 at the end of this verse, giving out, Simon was giving out that himself was some great one. And let's keep in mind, the Bible says there is no new thing under the sun, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. So if it was happening in the early church, we know it's happening also now. So that right there tells us that people are out there like Simon that are trying to get attention drawn to themselves. They've never been, if they even got saved, if they even repented and believed on Christ, which I doubt most of them have, but they weren't taught correctly. They weren't discipled, if you will. They weren't taught that you must lay down your life, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus according to his written word. That's how we're led by the Spirit primarily, is by the word of God, because holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, being led of the Spirit. And that's another thing I want to throw out there. All of these people are talking about hearing from the Spirit, but they never mention or quote the word of God. They don't even reference it. That's a red flag that immediately tells you that such a person is an absolute fraud, 100%. And saints, I want to encourage you right now that anyone you're listening to that is not giving you scripture upon scripture, line upon line, precept upon precept, Isaiah 28, is an absolute fraud. The scripture says, thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalm 119, verse 105. So anyone attempting to be doing ministry, so many NAR, Bethel cult prophetic, so-called prophetic wolves, and are running around out there pretending to be ministering for Christ, and they're not crucified with Christ. They do not have the Holy Ghost on them. They've got another spirit, and we know that because they're preaching another gospel, and they're peddling the image of another Jesus. So anyone attempting to do ministry, friends, and is not grounded in the scriptures, and is not speaking the written word of God, which is the final divine authority of God, that person is a wolf in sheep's clothing. The scripture says in Titus 1:13, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, talking about false teachers. This includes all the demon-infested NAR, Bethel, so-called prophetic frauds that run around on social media, etc., giving out words and visions and things that they pretend and claim came from God. But they don't give God the honor. If they did, they'd be preaching Jesus Christ and his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection, and the crucified life, and the word of God, and upholding it as the final divine authority from Genesis to Revelation. But if you look on their social media pages, some of them have zero scripture, zero. And yet keep in mind that Satan is a master at using the word of God for his own advantage, for twisting it, adding to it, and taking away from it. So beware of those that do use scripture also and misuse scripture. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. Okay, so Simon was putting off that he was some great one, some great spiritual guru, if you will. And then it says in verse 10, Acts chapter 8, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. So this deceiver, Simon, had a pretty large following, apparently. You know, you see this on social media today, etc. You see people that have a very large following who are not giving scripture, are not crucified with Christ, are not preaching the crucified, buried, and resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. So they're not preaching the gospel from the word of God. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and then to the Greek. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And also 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So instead of preaching the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ, like Simon the sorcerer that we're reading about in Acts 8, they're too busy drawing attention to themselves. Back to Acts chapter 8, okay? So notice verse 11, and to him, They had regard. They held this guy Simon, this false prophet, in high regard because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. So he had cast his witchcraft upon them and bewitched them with his sorceries. And notice it went on a long time. You know, we've seen this prophetic movement going on for many decades now. And you know, just as it was with the people that Simon had deceived, so many today in the NAR movement, this false prophetic Bethel cult movement, which has spread like wildfire over the last few decades, so many of them know that they are absolutely empty. They have no substance. They're not truly worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, and they are ripe for the picking. Or should I say, we can sow the seed of the Word of God and teach them concerning the simplicity and the beauty of that simplicity that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11. Certainly, God can use us to interrupt the deception in their life, such as what the Apostle Paul did here in the situation with those that were deceived by this false prophet Simon in the early days of the church. Notice verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things, so Philip the deacon came along and preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, amen, and the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, we just read four chapters earlier in verse 12, Acts 4:12, and now we're reading Acts 8:12, and isn't that interesting? In Acts 4:12, the scripture records the words of the apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, or thereafter, just thereafter, and he said, "There neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." That's the name of Jesus Christ. So they preached, as we see in the book of Acts, that they preached Christ, they preached Jesus, they preached the Word. You can look that up on software in the King James Bible. They preached the Word, as we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the Word. Don't run around giving out all these visions, dreams, and stuff like that and not even be given the Word of God. We must judge all of these things, saints, by the Word of God. Just like the Bereans judged and weighed everything the Apostle Paul taught in Acts 17, verse 10 and 11. They searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things that Paul was teaching were true or false. So in verse 12, we see that when they believed, the people that were following this false prophet called Simon believed the preaching of the kingdom of God in Christ. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. So they got saved and water baptized as a public testimony and testify that Jesus Christ was now Lord of their life, that they were dead, buried, and raised up by the Son of God. Amen. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed also when he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. And you can read thereafter, friends, but suffice it to say that this is nothing new that we see today of these people like Simon going around and getting everybody in enamored by them and not Christ. The people that he was misleading got saved, and then he got saved. I guess that means we shouldn't totally abandon the idea, if you will, of these people that we're confronting that were like Simon getting saved. I can tell you this by experience, for whatever it's worth, this is just my opinion. This isn't the Word of God, but it seems that most of them will never repent. So I believe Titus chapter 1, verse 13, as I quoted earlier, comes in to place there where he says, rebuke them, the false teachers, sharply that they may be sound in the faith. And remember, always keep in mind Titus 3:10 that says, after the first and second admonition, we're to reject a heretic. Also Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Cast not your pearls to the swine, neither give that which is holy to the dogs, lest they turn again and rend you. There's a time to block, to cut off, and to warn others about deceivers in our midst, saints. Paul says to mark them, to mark them. That means the Greek word is scopeo. Put a scope on them where the X marks the spot, if you will. Put them in the scope so that everybody bring it to light. Shout it from the housetop, bring their darkness to the light so that others can take heed and be warned and protected from them. Romans 16, verse 17 and 18. You know, as an illustration or a visual, we might consider being in a room with 100 people, and let's say 20 of them were wolves in sheep's clothing or bad actors, bad characters. And so we would go around and we'd stick a big red bow on those, or a cross with tape, red bright tape on those that were bad, so that we would all know the difference and we could all stay clear of and stay protected from the danger that they pose. So just as we saw with Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8, they bring attention to it and to themselves. And that's what's behind a lot of this false prophesying, is people trying to bring attention to themselves and their words when we have the word. Have you noticed this? Have you noticed that there are people who always have a word? And have you stopped? Here's a bigger question. Have you personally stopped to consider that these people are seeking to gain and retain an audience? It's called repeat customers in business, and that's kind of what they're in. They're making merchandise of people for one reason or the other. Whatever their personal agenda is, it might not be money so much as getting people to listen to them and to follow them. You see, we need to be following Jesus. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they will follow no other." And we're going to get to that in a minute. So it's kind of like repeat customers. You got to get the circus wheel spinning and then keep it spinning. And that's what a lot of social media accounts are all about. Why would a true disciple, here's another question, why would a true disciple of Jesus be impressed with a word from a mere man or woman when we have the word? You see, a lot of folks running out there looking for a word instead of the word, which for the English-speaking people would be the King James Bible. Now, let's look at three verses that are in rapid succession, these sayings, these divinely inspired truths, right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 19 through 21. Let's say that this is going to be the foundational passage that we're going to lay the groundwork with, if you will, in this message. He says, "Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove or test all things, and hold fast that which is good." So we aren't to believe everything. In fact, the Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits to see whether they are of God." 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. So the apostle writes here that we're not to quench the spirit. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is a vital divine component for every New Testament believer. And it's far too few men of God preaching on the baptism in the Holy Ghost. In fact, I would say most men preaching aren't even baptized in the Holy Ghost, which is a shame. Jesus told his own apostles they weren't ready to minister until they were baptized with the Spirit. Luke 24:49, Jesus said, "Tarry ye in Jerusalem." Go wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And let me just say this. This isn't our main topic today so much, but I want to encourage you, my friend. I want to encourage you in this, that you would highly consider realizing that you cannot do the work of God in your own flesh. No education replaces the need or negates the need for the power of God in our lives. In fact, how can we do God's work outside of God's power? We can't. And we don't need to just try to do it on brain power, or we're educated and we got this little church system down pat and in control and all organized. And a lot of folks out there are doing church. They're not doing Christ. They're not walking in a daily cross abiding fruit bearing relationship. They're part of a staged act. And that's a lot of times that's because people have gotten a seminary degree and they somehow believe that equips them to be a minister of Christ. That's sadly not true. It's sad for them and for all those that are deceived that are sitting under them. They're not learning true, authentic New Testament Christianity. So the Apostle Paul tells us to never quench not the Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit, folks. That's what definitely we don't want to do that. And we also do not want to despise prophesying. So that's one of the nine gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7-10. Do not despise. Despise not prophesying. And yet he says, prove or test all things. Hold fast that which is good. So prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove or test everything and only hold fast that which lines up with the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Now we must remember, it says here, despise not prophesying. And yet there are people who are prophesying and claiming to be led of the Spirit, but if their doctrine or their prophesying or any kind of word or vision does not line up with the Word of God, that person is under a deceiving spirit, not the Holy Spirit, and they definitely need to repent. The Bible speaks about, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. Prophecies, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, the oral utterance gifts we see listed there in 1 Corinthians 12:7-10, they are to be judged. Okay, let the prophet speak two or three and let the other judge. 1 Corinthians 14:29. In general, 1 Corinthians 12 introduces the nine gifts of the Spirit, and 1 Corinthians 14, two chapters later, is the instructions of Paul on how the gifts of the Spirit are to operate. The parameters, if you will, the kingdom parameters in the body of Christ. We also read a moment ago that 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21, that all these things are to be tested. We're not to quench the Spirit yet or despise prophesying, but all of these things must be tested against the Word of God. And that, you know, reminds me of the Berean believers who tested Paul's doctrine against the Holy Scriptures. They took no man at his word. Okay, because they served the Lord, not men. That's Acts 17:10-11. A sense, and I've talked to a lot of people that see the same thing. We've got so many people giving words all the time and stuff, and they're not preaching the gospel. That's a big problem. That should be a big red flag. You know, they're getting you to like them, their personality, and all this stuff. But whoever is not preaching the gospel and simply teaching through the Bible to get people saved and also to establish the body of Christ in the truth of God so they grow in His grace, in the grace of Christ, is absolutely a false ministry. And that goes for this one or any other. If somebody's not getting you into not a word, but the word from Genesis to Revelation, they're not getting you rooted and grounded, and they're exploiting you for their own self-serving gain. You can count on that. They're false prophets that are making merchandise of you. Their God is their belly, is what Paul said. And they glory in their shame. They glory in that which they should be ashamed of. And they mind earthly things and are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their belly. Philippians 3:18-19. And I would not patronize them any longer if I were you, my friend. You see, some of these people are always having to come up with a word to keep the attention on themselves and their ministry and their following. And again, I'm talking about people that are not preaching the Word of God. They, you know, it seems to me like they're working you. They're running a scam on you. They're running a circus scam on their prey. If you are going to say, the Lord showed me or told me, or I had a vision or a dream, and you don't have scripture to minister, it's obvious that all you're doing is drawing attention to yourself. You aren't God's man or woman of the hour. People already have a Bible. If they're born again, they have the Holy Spirit of God to lead and guide them. They don't need you giving them a word every day or two, or whenever, or on a frequent basis. They need Jesus, who said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. If we hear the voice of the great shepherd of the sheep, heaven's king, the one who bled on the cross, was buried and raised again from the dead for our justification, we don't need to hear anybody else's voice. That doesn't mean we don't fellowship. That doesn't mean there aren't gifts of the Spirit. That doesn't mean we aren't captive our conscience and our lives and attention to the written word of God. That just simply means that's how we hear God's voice, through the word and the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, not by running to somebody, you know, getting our morning coffee and seeing, you know, what they have to say to us
today. No, those who follow Christ are interested in reading what He has to say to us today straight from His own word.
Again, that doesn't eliminate or negate that there are the real gifts of prophecy. I don't think they're going to come across when they're truly from God like some of these people are coming across. There's a lot of flattery going on, among other things. Those who always have to have a word, again, they're running a scam on people. And the good news, as I mentioned already, is that Jesus says we hear his voice, and that means we no longer have to be captivated or captive to someone who's peddling their words all the time. Why does anyone need their word when we have the word? And the scripture says that in the written word of God, the exceeding great, I love this, and precious promises of the scriptures, all things, they contain all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's all in the Bible. But if you're not digging it out, you don't know that. As you read through the Bible, you're going to see that
everything that pertains to life and godliness, or this life and being godly in it, are found in the exceeding great and precious promises of our Lord's written word. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Everything in God's word is
for your life. It's all relevant. There's nothing more relevant than Scripture, than Holy Scripture, breathed by a God who knows everything, past, present, and future. And he declared in the Scriptures the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. The Word of God is prophetic. It's the more sure word of prophecy. Later in this chapter, 2 Peter 1, we see that the Holy Scriptures are the more sure word of prophecy, and they're more sure and more divinely authoritative, listen to this, than the Heavenly Father audibly speaking from heaven. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 through 21. Peter's talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, where Tim and two of the other disciples were brought with Jesus. They heard the Father speak and say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Audibly heard it. And Peter is recounting that. And he's saying, we have even a more sure word of prophecy. And that would be the Holy Scriptures, the exceeding great and precious promises that God gave us in his word. Absolutely a earth-shattering, life-changing revelation. I want you to get in there and look that up. I could just be telling you a story. You better get in the word yourself, friend. That's 2 Peter chapter 1. Learn all about all things that pertain unto life and godliness as you read and study God's word and seek his face and relish and revel in the exceeding great and precious promises of his word. Amen. And be founded in Christ. The only way you can be founded and grounded soundly in Christ is to be a man or a woman of the word of God in all humility and love and wisdom. We don't walk around arrogantly, but we should be studying, reading, memorizing, and meditating on the word of God every day. That is our life. In fact, Psalm 1 speaks of that, doesn't it? Psalm chapter 1, what's that say to us? Remember that one? Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That would include those that always have to have a word to give out to people. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I love what Jeremiah said. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, he said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Job 23:12, Job said, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So Job counted the word of God more important than his own necessary food, which is needed to stay alive on the earth. In Psalms 119, verse 72, he said, "The law of thy mouth," the word that is, "the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Now, the fact that the longest chapter in the whole Bible, that's it right there, Psalm 119, is on one topic, and that is the written word of God, is clear evidence of the importance God places on his word. Amen. Can't go to heaven without the word of God. That's how you learn that you needed to be saved because you're a sinner. And that's how you learn the things of the kingdom of Christ, the coming kingdom of Christ, and that presently here in his people. And you're fed and nourished, and you're a wise virgin believer who's enduring to the end, you've got to have the oil of God, and that would be the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God through communion with God. So truly born again people that are godly, walking and abiding with Christ, aren't impressed with the words of men. As a younger believer, we got impressed with stuff like that. In fact, let me just say this. Recently, I watched a video clip where this guy, Sean Bolz, B-O-L-Z, this total false prophet, actually at a youth rally in this big auditorium and stadium or whatever, thousands of people there. Well, he's being called out. In fact, we got it on our website, the video. He's being called out because what he did was he got the info. He got the info of one of these young guys, about 19 years old, who is going to be, you know, everybody has to register, so they know who's coming to the conference. So he went to the young guy's social media page and found out some specifics about his life. And so he, quote unquote, ministered to him in the middle of this whole deal and says, whatever the guy's name is, he says, I want you to stand up. Is there a guy? Is there a man named, you know, John Smith or whatever the guy's name was here? And he already knew the guy was there. And, I want you to stand up. God has a word for you. And Sean Bolz just rattles off what this young guy has on his social media page. And they call this a cold reading. I don't know why they call it a cold reading. But what they're doing, these false prophets today, they're not even hiding this stuff. I mean, it's so obvious. I mean, there are people that make up words and they talk to people about in terms of, oh, yeah, you're going to be a prophet to the nation. You know, every other person is going to be a prophet to the nation. They come up with that kind of stuff. But then now you got these new wave of false prophets that are actually getting the information off of people's social media accounts and reciting it to them as if it's a word from God. And it's not. Why would God himself be giving all these words when he already gave us his word? That's what I wonder. I'm not saying God doesn't speak through revelation, dreams, visions, and prophecies, words of knowledge. I've seen those things operate in my own life. But we shouldn't be running around trying to conjure them up and making that the central thing we do. You see, the same people that are teaching all of that stuff and leading people, these warlocks that are leading people into always prophesying and all that, they're never teaching them how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, although they claim to be teaching them how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit are much more important. That's why the Lord told us through Paul that we're to covet the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit, but yet I show unto you a more excellent and more important thing, and that's the love of God. That's why you got the 13th chapter right in between the 12th and 14th of 1 Corinthians. And that's the cornerstone, is to walk in the love of God. But none of these prophetic ministries are teaching anybody to walk in the love of God, to be a disciple of Christ, denying yourself, taking up your cross and following Jesus. They're not talking about the judgment to come. They're not talking about the return of Christ. They're not talking about hell and heaven. They're not talking about Jesus coming back for a spotless bride, repentance, personal holiness being essential, etc. Oh no, they're not rooting them in Christ. They're establishing them in dependence upon their own ministries. And they're leading many astray. And this should be of great concern to us saints. And that's why we're talking about it here. The Bible says, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Titus chapter 1 verse 13. Does God somehow now lead his people by the words that they're getting through all these people? Or does he still lead his New Testament church by his word, his written word? The answer is obvious. That's the primary way God leads his New Testament church, is by his Spirit that dwells in every individual and his word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. Why would God give us all these words through all these people that claim to be getting visions, prophetic words, revelations, and stuff like that all the time? Why would he give words through them when we have his word? Did he not give us his word? Yes, he did. You see, and the scripture tells us that he puts lying spirits in the mouths of the false prophets to actually mislead people who are always running around looking for a word instead of looking to him in his word, the word. Okay, it is 1 Kings 22:22. It says, and the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. Now, this reminds us of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says that those who do not receive the love of the truth will be sent strong delusion. It sounds like the lying spirits he's speaking about here in 1 Kings. So when people don't love the word itself, the written word of God, the Holy Scriptures, where God communicates with his people, then God actually turns them over to strong delusion so that they do believe a lie. They'll be damned, deceived and damned. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. And it's speaking of this coming by the working and the power of Satan himself, where God turns you over, which it speaks about also in Romans 1. God takes it very personally when we don't love him enough to love his word. How can I say I love God and I don't love his word? That would be a contradiction. How do you even get to know God outside of his word? That's what he gave us in order for us to get to know him. And so we will not be deceived. Now we have on safeguardyoursoul.com, we've got two posts I want to draw your attention to that go hand in hand with this topic we're talking about today. One of them's called Judging Prophecy. Now, if you'll just put one or both of those words in the search box, it'll come up. The other one, the second one I'm going to mention, is called Lying Spirits in the Mouths of the Prophets. Lying, if you just put in the word lying, it'll come up. Okay, or to get the whole mother load, if you will, we've got a category called prophetic or pathetic. And a lot of stuff that's going on, as we're talking about right now, in this message is very pathetic. And it puts itself off as being from God when it's really not. That doesn't mean God's not giving people dreams anymore. Not at all. God's done that all the way through history. Joseph in Genesis, when Jesus was going to be born, the dreams and visions you see in the first chapters of Matthew and Luke, you know, you see them there. Peter was given a vision. Acts chapter 10, 11. I'm just off the top of my head. It's all over the Bible. God hasn't stopped moving. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the primary way he moved is by us feeding on his word and him leading us according to it. His word, okay, the scriptures in particular, is a lamp unto our feet and the light unto our paths. Amen. Psalm 119, 105, and verse 130 says, the entrance of his words gives us light, gives light, his light, shining in our hearts. So when you're studying the word of God every morning, when you get up and you seek God first, the divine light of heaven is shining right into your heart, into the darkness. It's enlightening you. It's leading you and teaching you. Amen. He is. And that's the way he does it. In these prophetic camps that we're talking about here and exposing, no one, again, is being taught scripture. Other than they'll take a scripture here or there, siphon it out to try to validate what they're doing, but it doesn't stand the test of being scriptural.
In most cases,
if you know the whole circumference and a lot of the Word of God, it's not only what they're doing, saints, it's what they're not teaching. And like we're saying, they're not teaching scripture, not teaching people how to walk in the fruit of the Spirit in an abiding, cross-bearing relationship with Jesus Christ, where they're counting themselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ, etc. They're not teaching the crucified life. That alone tells you they're false. How can you be in the ministry and not be teaching the crucified life? Well, you're a false teacher. That goes for me or anybody else that's in the ministry. They never teach the fear of the Lord. You're never going to hear that. I used to be a part of that movement for a little while, way back when I was a younger Christian.
As many of you also have been a part of that NAR, New Apostolic Reformation and Bethel cult movement.
All right, so let us never look to mere men, saints. Doing so has never grounded us in Christ. That's why people are ever learning, yet never coming to the knowledge of the truth. In fact, if we'd have been seeking God instead of being led about with all of these false words and false prophets, by now, as some of you would already be more deeply rooted and grounded in Christ. You're complete in him, friend, Colossians 2, where he says, beware lest any man spoil or ruin you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Would God, who gave us his word, be speaking to all these people all the time?
These are people who truly don't honor him, otherwise they'd be in his word for themselves.
People who don't even preach his gospel, his word. No, he wouldn't. They aren't getting people in the word, but instead they're getting people to listen to their words. Amen. I'm going to close it out right there. And again, I want to encourage you to take a look at a couple of really good posts on this topic, judging prophecy, and also lying spirits in the mouth of the prophets. And then we just did another new one on a generation. Here it is. A generation of false prophets unleashed. That's a podcast. And I'll try to drop some of these links at the bottom of this message here. And I want you to take a look at the prophetic or pathetic category on safeguardyoursoul.com. And thank you for praying for this outreach to be fruitful for the Lord's glory. God bless you.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several mini books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.